You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 5th of April. The Spurs fall in L.A. What does it mean for the Utah Jazz? Surprisingly little. A huge one against the L.A. Clippers tonight. We'll prepare you for that matchup and how that looks. Take your questions and let it roll on a Facebook Live Thursday edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and a look behind the curtains on what's going on with your Utah Jazz. It's all part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can get all of the Locked On Podcast Network podcasts at LockedOnSports.com. That is kind of in the beta stage, but it's there. And all the Locked On the Jazz news at LockedOnJazz.net. I have been debating and fiddling with the possibility of moving this live edition to Twitch. It allows me to insert some videos and do some other things. It right now it's got a technical flaw because I cannot, I'm not capable of, I insert this video into my computer through a sound card, and then I'm also running, or this audio, and then I'm also running that video, and I right now can't do both at the same time. It might be just too much. And so therefore it might not work, but I'm curious if you guys would like that. The interaction looks great. The other functions look really good. And seems like it's a positive, would be a positive. But let me know what you guys think of that. And whether that would preclude. If anyone knows how to get through that technical issue, that's probably what's precluding it. Anyway, hello to Michael Fabian, who's in Brisbane, Australia, tuning into Facebook Live here not as early in the morning for him as for others. We're going to have a funky moment in Facebook Live today. My wife and daughter are leaving at some point, and I will literally get up, walk in there, give them a kiss, and stop the show for a second on the live edition, and on the podcast edition, it'll just be a quick stop and a start. So just heads up on that. All right. Huge one. Let's go tonight first. Huge, huge, huge game tonight. Clippers come in at 42-36. Jazz at 45-33. Clippers are playing for their lives. They came off a great win against San Antonio that I was watching last night. They're good. They have two bona fide scorers in Lou Williams and Tobias Harris. And Tobias Harris is good. They run a lot of stuff where Harris gets at the top on isolation. And with DeAndre Jordan back in the dunker spot by the rim, it's pretty hard to bring the big over. They run some really cool stuff. I'm excited to go to shoot around today and see what Quinn Snyder has built to try to deal with some of Lou Williams' aspects of things and Tobias Harris. But they have two bona fide scorers. They have DeAndre Jordan hovering around the rim, and then they've got a very energetic bench unit led by Montrezl Harrell, who's been good, averaging about 14 points a game and doing a lot of things in that regard. So, and I don't know if Danilo Gallinari will play, but that's another talent. They lost Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, and they've pieced it together with an awful lot of players. They're not very good defensively. That's the only thing I would say. The Spurs, early in the game, the Spurs pushed the tempo, kept going with a lot of energy, and the Clippers did not set transition defensive walls very well, and the Spurs got a lot of possessions. That game slowed down in the fourth quarter, and the Spurs ended up slowing down, getting the half court. That's not their strength. Aldridge took some bad shots, and the Clippers were able to make a bunch of plays and win that game. I think when you start to kind of analyze, you look at those two things. One of the things you can dig into on the Clippers, and I just realized that my note is in my phone, so I got to see if I can find this somewhere. But the Clippers are about, I'm not going to be able to give this to you exactly. The Clippers are about 20, they're 26th in the league since the All-Star break, or since the trade, after a defensive rebound defensively. So they do not get back very well on defense. They're 21st overall defensively. They're the fifth best offensive team. So watching that game, what I think tonight comes down to is whether or not the Jazz can make shots. Now that may seem intuitively obvious, but what I mean by that a little bit is that the Jazz are going to get shots. The Clippers defense will allow them to get shots. The issue is going to be whether the Jazz can knock him down. The Clippers are the sixth best team in the league defending the corner three, ninth best team at defending the above the break three. So a lot of those are going to be some mid-range opportunities with DeAndre Jordan sitting back and preventing you from getting to the basket. They run you off the three-point line pretty well. But if you can push in transition and swing the ball early, I think you can get some good looks out of that. You're going to get that mid-range stuff. Everybody kind of gives you that. Offensively, as I mentioned, they got two bona fide guys in Lou Williams and Tobias Harris. They also take the most shots in the restricted area and the most shots in the paint. A little bit of that is that they're coming into the restricted area. You've got a hold on DeAndre Jordan, and they're able to get these shots off. They're good. This is going to be a real tussle tonight. You know, for as much as I've already got the first question on, like, who do we want to play in the playoffs and all this, we could lose four straight really easily right here. We just saw last night that going into L.A. and playing the Lakers is no gift. Or no easy stop along the way. Then we got the Warriors in their final game of the season at home. You know, I assume that the Warriors sit guys at halftime of that game, but maybe not. And frankly, Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, if he comes back, and Draymond Green are good enough that they can beat you if they want to as well. So even without Steph Curry, you know, they're going to win. They're likely to win a playoff series in the process. So. You know, I think you'll see in Klay Thompson, I see no reason why Klay Thompson wouldn't be back or wouldn't be playing. I think he's going again tonight against Indiana, which I think is their matchup tonight. So I would assume that he would play against us unless they just sat him for the sake of it. So, I mean, that team's pretty ready to come at you. And then you got Portland on the final night of the season. We don't know the circumstances there. So, I guess if the Jazz have lost a bunch of games, Portland would have the third seed solidified, and that makes things easier. But this is not, you know, I got our playoff positionings 98%. It feels pretty good. But tonight's huge. Tonight's the one that solidifies it. A bunch of people asking me if we clinch tonight, if Minnesota beats Denver. Seems like it. Though we'd be up three on Denver, and they still might have the tiebreaker. So, it might take one more after that to get it done. I cannot figure out our magic number is two. So if we win tonight, they would be at 36. We'd have three left. They'd losses. So in theory, we could still tie. So I'm not convinced that would be, but I don't know the permutations of on how many other teams would tie with us and all of that. So I'm guessing. Though if Denver loses tonight, they go to 7-7. Yeah, we wouldn't know yet, I don't think, because they would be 7-7 in the division. We're 7-8. And then they have Minnesota for the next one. If they lose that, we'd clinch anyway. So I don't quite understand when we get the X next to our name, for those who've been asking that question. Last night, the Spurs lost to the Lakers. What does it do to us? Actually, not a lot. I know it felt big, but you kind of dig in. So, when that game started, if the Jazz won out, they get home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. When the game ended, if the Jazz win out, they get first round of the playoffs. If Houston loses Saturday to, excuse me, if Oklahoma City loses Saturday to Houston, and I apologize, I've had that backwards for some reason. On my charts, it's an unlikely win for Oklahoma City. I had it as a home game. It's a road game, though we don't know what Houston's going to play on Saturday. If Houston were to win that game, then it matters. So it's the confluence of events. If Oklahoma City were to lose to Houston on Saturday, then the Jazz could lose a game and still end up with the home court advantage. What I don't know, by the way, is if, I think, if the Jazz, Spurs, and Thunder come in together all tied, we lose that tiebreaker because of the 1-3 against the Thunder. But right now, we win a tiebreaker with San Antonio, but we lose the tiebreaker with Oklahoma City. So we, for that last night game to actually have an impact on us, we really need the Thunder to lose one more game. So that would be, you know, keep an eye on that. So, in other words, the game changer last night really is only if Oklahoma City also loses to Houston. We'll get to your questions here next. It's a Thursday edition of the program today. Locked On Podcast Network Thursday, Locked On Jazz, brought to you by Shamrock Auto Group. They always, Rob Taylor. Rob Taylor is the owner of Shamrock Auto Group. Shamrock is out in Pleasant Grove, and it's a great story. Rob goes through the process of buying a car, doesn't love the process, decides, you know what, I'm going to get my guy Brady Kimball. We're going to get together. Brady's been a mechanic for a long time. Brady becomes my buyer. I know what cars I'm getting. I'm going to make this, we're going to be lean, we're going to be mean, we're going to make this easy. We're going to give you out-the-door pricing in 5 minutes. We're going to let you test drive by yourself and trust you. We're going to give you a buying experience in under an hour. We're going to do full-service, can-do financing in-house and extended warranties. We're going to give you value-driven Carfax and every report, give you everything you need. And when you start to read about what they say, Evan Bingham says, I'm such a tightwad. This was on his Google review. I would have told you it would be impossible for me to write a great review, especially on a car company. I hate spending money, and at least I want to get my money's worth. That's exactly what I got from Shamrock, a great car, a great price, great people, that car for our family. I've already sent my neighbor to Shamrock, who is looking for a truck. He'll continue to send other people there too. Amy Miller, fantastic place to buy a car. No beep beep salesman. He was great, totally friendly, no pleasure, knowledgeable. He helped us with a trade in our truck too. Gave us a great value for that. We live in Southern Nevada, so I was so go there again the next time we need a car. A lot of people come from out of state because of the service that Rob and his crew give them. Shamrock Auto Group. It's in Pleasant Grove. It's worth taking the drive down there. Most of the cars are 6 to 12 months old, 5 to 20,000 miles. Suburbans, Yukons, big SUVs. Great selection. And frankly, if you know exactly what you want, you go give Rob a call and Rob will go find it for you. Give Rob a call today or head down to Shamrock Auto Group. Tell him you're with Locked On Jazz and he'll give you friends and family pricing. 801-319-2250. That's 801-319-2250. Today's show is also brought to you by Mazuma USA. If you're a 1 to 5 person company and you're not using Mazuma USA, you are losing money, or really clarity, or time, or stress you're adding to your life. Mazuma USA, for $75 a month, you get bookkeeping reports, free unlimited consultation from a CPA, and personal and business tax return done for you at the end of the year. It's really pretty simple. Here's how it works. You sign up with Mazuma, start with an orientation call. They assign a bookkeeper and a CPA to you. You don't need to hire a full-time bookkeeper and a full-time CPA because your company's 1 to 5 people. But it's also a pain for you every 12 months trying to find all the information and doing all that. So Mazuma does it for you. They assign you a bookkeeper. They assign you a CPA. They don't change. The first set of report, they get your information. They sit down. They immediately send you your first set of reports. Every month you get a report. Every quarter you get a tax planning call. And at the end of the year, they give you all of your tax returns and everything done for you. No contract. You can cancel at any time and no hidden fees. April 15th is looming, and it's a big, huge pain. Make sure it's easier for you next year and see if they can help you out this year. $75 a month, you get the bookkeeping and CPA unlimited. It's MazumaUSA.com, and with a promo code LOCKED, you get 25% off. That's 25% off with the promo code LOCKED. 801-980-2102. That's 801-980-2102. All right, let's get to your questions. You wanted to know, a bunch of people have asked about, who do we want to play? We want home court. I talked to Kevin Pelton about this last night. And Pelton basically explained to me that you would rather the advantage of having the fourth game at home is superior to anything you would want out of an opponent. So if you think you match up well against one opponent versus the other, that's just a small incremental. The fourth home game is a big deal. Now, I know our recency bias is, hey, we won game 7 on the road last year. Blake was hurt. But it is a bigger issue for us to play a home game and get a home game than it is for us to be able to who we play. So I would tell you that there's your answer, is that you want to make sure that we get a home game and see if we can get this fourth seed, be a mammoth. Can you imagine if we were fourth seed this year after not being fourth seed last year? It's not quite the same thing. Everything's a little different on on how it's all playing out and what's taking place, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think you get the concept that how important that fourth seed is. So that's the first answer to your question. Michael Van Orden, does Stockton get the 15th spot for the playoffs after a second 10-day? I would doubt that, actually. But I don't know why I would doubt that. Maybe. But that would mean you have to sign him to a contract. And, I mean, we got to put somebody on for the 15th player. You might do something. George Niang's on a two-way deal, and I think they like him a little bit. So you might do something there. You can't have a two-way guy on playoff roster. It's a good question. Really, really good question. I don't know if I know the answer to you. Zach Lambert, who once was a Utah Jazz broadcast assistant, part of the Jazz family. We know in the playoffs individual matchups are so important, usually decide a series. Which potential opponent gives the Jazz the most problems or the least problems? It's really, I mean, so I'm watching San Antonio the last two nights, and they lose both of them, so you don't look, they don't feel particularly concerning, though LaMarcus Aldridge can just go off from the mid-range, and the way they play Aldridge defensively taxes us. We've had a very hard time guarding them more than just about anyone because Aldridge can, and Gasol can go play in that mid-range. They take the ball down to the baseline, and they cause us some problems. They know our system, our whole system of not letting teams get into the middle, and then they're able to pop that big out, and they rotate out of it. So I'd say, you know, statistically, so far this year, if you look, and let me see if I can pull it up, San Antonio has had some of the better offensive games against us. We, if you look just recently, let me see if I can, the Spurs put up a 116 against us, which was our 67th worst worst defensive performance. The other time they put up 100 on the offensive rating in the game we won by two, which was a 36. The other time they were a 111, which is our 56th best performance this year. So the Spurs, while they're not playing well, the other time when we beat them solidly, they did not get it rolling. Oklahoma City has kind of given us some of the same problems. At OKC, we got blown out and lost by 28. They put up a 65 on us. In the first meeting of the year, we shut them down, and they had a 91. I mean, I really want to make sure someone can't score on us. And then 100. So, and their defense is not as good as it once was. Portland, I don't think we would match up in the first round. So I think we're – the odds right now are most likely we're the fourth seed, then most likely we're the sixth seed, then most likely we're the fifth seed. So if we're six, I guess we're playing – that would be the scenario where we play Portland. So looking at what we've done with Portland this year, the first time we played them, we won by 9 at home. Their offensive rating was a 92.9. They got nothing done against us. I believe our offensive system, which might slow down a little bit in the playoffs because people get used to it, as everyone's does, will lead us some offense. The second time we played Portland, they had a 97.0 offensive rating. We won by 19. The third time, which was the first game back from the break, we actually just didn't score. So it was a 100.8. So the interesting one on Portland is despite their three guards, or their two guards, they have not scored against us this year. Which leads, you know, so in some ways I feel better about playing Portland than anyone else. San Antonio has been able to score against us. Good question, Zach. Derek says, I have a question about Rubio. Is it just me or has Rubio stopped getting to the rim over the last couple of weeks? I missed the Laker game, so I can't speak to that. And if he's changed, if he isn't getting there anymore, is that because some opposing defense are doing or the Jazz have changed? Well, I can look. I have this capability. It's going to take a second. Jazz player shooting game by game. I was on Jay Crowder last, so I'll have to search. My instinct when I hear this is that it's not off, that maybe he's Nash dribbling, feels so good with his jump shot, he's not always going to the rim right now. That might be, I don't think that that's, I don't know that that's untrue. He did not take a shot, but it's actually, this is not true at all. He took, let me make sure I got Rubio. No, I don't. That's Jay Crowder. I was like, that looks like too many. Six shots at the rim. So let's look up Rubio. He took two at the rim against the Lakers, one against Minnesota, one against Boston, none against the Warriors, two against the Spurs, two against the Mavericks, one against Atlanta, three against Sacramento, two against Phoenix. That's, he had a stretch there. He was at 6'3", 4'3", 5", and he's cut back a little bit from them. But I wouldn't say it's a great deal. He's just, you know, shooting the ball very, very well from the corners right now. Unnaturally well, actually. I mean, he's hit, I think, seven straight corner threes. His above the break three is very hot. He's 7 of his last 11. He'd actually missed 6 straight before that. So if you kind of back that whole thing out, 7 of 11 plus 6, 7 of 17, he's kind of back right at his regular number. And he's kind of just solid in his mid-range, 43%, a little higher recently. So, no, I mean, he's down minuscule amount, nothing too significant there. Today's show is also brought to you today. I'm doing this now because I'm about to step away and go give my kids a hug, or my daughter a hug. Brought to you by The Advocates. The Matt and the guys at The Advocates have built a really cool company because I like the efficiency. I like the model. I like what they've done. So it's an injury attorney, and Matt always says it took him a little while to admit it when he went out for dinner, but now his wife's like, you're helping people. Why are you ashamed of that? So he's figured out the craft. 25 years of doing this on injury cases involving car accidents. Less than 1% go to trial, 3% go to arbitration. So now what you know is that while every accident's different and every individual's different, the process is the same. So how do I build a system that understands the process is the same, that individuals have different needs in the process, and then I can do this? So what he's done, he's built a 106-step process. The way it works is you call the Utah Advocates at 801-355-5550. A lawyer calls you back within 60 seconds. That lawyer understands who you are, puts the case in the system, notifies the system kind of things you need individually of your circumstance, and then the process starts. Again, each individual is different, but the process is the same. So the 106-step process kicks in. Efficiency means productivity, which means communication, expedites the process. Inside this 106-step process, there's individuals that are the experts at each task that are working on it and getting each of your things done. That's what separates the Utah Advocates from everyone else. Give them a call at 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. All right, I'm going to step away for a quick second. I'll be back in a minute or two. I need to give a hug and a kiss to my wife and daughter. So talk amongst yourself, and I'll be right back. Back with you. And those of you on the podcast, that was really weird because I never went away. But those of you on Facebook, I did. Some of you actually stuck around, so I appreciate that. All right, let's get back to the questions. For the last few games, Ingles seems to be hesitating. Wow, we've won 26 of 31, right? Right? Okay. For the last few games, Ingles seems to be hesitating on his shot, too often passing out to Rubio. Any thoughts on why, and is this a valid observation? I have not thought of that. Well, Rubio's been on fire, so that could be part of it, I guess. Let's kind of just take a look, I guess. I mean, that would imply that Joe has taken less shots the last few games. I'm not sure that that's totally true. Maybe it is. He took 8 last game on 3 of 6 from 3. Game before, he took 5 on 1 of 4. Rubio's on fire on that day. Took 15 shots the game before that, 12 the game before that, 12 the game before that. So, I mean, he's taken 2 straight games of under 10 shots. So, I guess, but, I mean, teams also might, depends on defense if that Minnesota doesn't play any. I'm not with you on that one. Sorry. Would it be fun for Rubio to destroy the Timberwolves in the playoffs? I think it'd be fun for Rubio anytime he destroys them. Ajali, how are you? Am I pronouncing that right? Talking about resting players. Travis's question. Big win tonight. Ajali's fired up. Did the Warriors rest anyone beside the injuries they have against the Thunder? It looks as though they can't move past the Rockets. No, the Warriors' last game of the year is here in Salt Lake. I'd suspect that their main guys don't play much in the second half of that game. You're just not worth the risk. On the other end, they're still integrating guys and trying to get them back. So you better not. I mean, that's the thing. We're going from like right now choosing our playoff position. We lose tonight, we're going to be a panic. We're going to be in a dead panic. My hair is just tremendous today. Jeff Wilcox says, I take back what I said about Rubio being careless with the ball. He has been playing great. You know what, though? He was careless with the ball. He made plays that were so out of character. I remember just being mystified early in the season on, like, is this who this guy is? Is he really that sloppy with the ball? Does he make this many ill-advised plays? And in retrospect, I think what you had was him playing the game with the speed and passion we're seeing him play at right now, but doing it without understanding the system and his teammates. And so it looked ridiculous at times. I mean, he's definitely gotten better at taking care of the ball, but I think there's also an understanding of what we're doing and how the team's supposed to play that's leading to that. So I'm with you. I mean, early in the year, I knew that Rubio wasn't a great shooter when he got to the Jazz and was kind of fine with that. Knew if he could get to the free throw line a few times a night, he'd be all right. But when he opened the year with 4 turnovers and 6 turnovers and 6 and 5 and 4 and 4 and 5, I mean, the first 12 games of the year, he was turning it over 4 times a game. It was insane. And, you know, if you look now at just the month of since the All-Star break, he's not. It's a different. He's still as aggressive and pushing as hard as he is, and he's averaging. I'm pulling it up right now. He's averaging 2.6 turnovers, so he's down almost 2 turnovers a game, and those 2 turnovers I think are a case of him understanding what's going on. So I don't. Honestly, Jeff, I don't think you have to take that back. He was careless about it. He's throwing it all over the gym. It was weird. It wasn't who you expected you were getting. It was very strange. But now in understanding him and watching him a bit more, I think it was an understanding of the system and the speed he plays at and not quite understanding what was coming at him. Can Alec Burks ever get on a playoff team rotation? I don't know. Who are your choices for Kia NBA Awards? Is Joe Ingles a front runner for most improved? No. Victor Oladipo, I think, has that award pretty well wrapped up. Harden's the MVP, but I don't think you should be discounting LeBron. I think he's got to be in the discussion. His numbers are basically the same, if not better. I think Gobert's the defense player of the year. If I'm being totally honest, I think both of them are rookie of the year. I'm big on Donovan, but I in no way am I discrediting Ben Simmons, what he's done. I mean, both of them are incredible. I don't know what other key awards. Coach of the Year. The recent run by Boston may give Brad Stevens that edge. Quinn's deserving in that. Nate McMillan's deserving in that. Mike D'Antoni's deserving in that in the sense he's changed his whole style to slow down for these guys. If I had to vote, I mean, certainly I'd vote, love to, you know, I mean, I'm not allowed to vote because I would go vote. If I was going to go vote, I would end up voting for all of Jazz players because there are guys and that's not really voting. How much should we worry about Joe Ingles' injury? He got hit. I mean, he's banged up a little bit. I think he'll play. He's probably, and he's got that streak going, so I can't imagine he's going to sit out. How's everyone's health? I think everybody's banged up. Gobert's had a knee thing recently. You can see him flexing it. Favors sat out that game because the knee. Ingles got hit the other day. Rubio's probably, Donovan's wasted, exhausted. So, I mean, we're at this 79th game of the NBA season. Everyone's totally hammered. It's an absolutely insane, insane journey that these guys go on during the year. I know it's still early for that, but I love Derek as a player. I'm asking anyway, is there any chance we keep him this summer? I mean, there's certainly a chance. I think you got to ask yourself, if you're Derek, do you want to come back? And so then that has a little bit to do with what options you get along the way. Right? So if it's Derek's choice, it's not the Jazz choice. I guess in the sense that the Jazz don't offer him a contract, it's not their choice. But Derek's the free agent. So I think if Derek gets the opportunity to be a starting center and play and know he's going to finish games and be, you know, a cornerstone piece and not have to sacrifice every night, I don't think he would come back. Like, I think that, right? I think you got to look at it from Derek's perspective, not the Jazz. The Jazz are showing how it can work. But as the league goes small, it's hard to play two centers. It's just fundamentally hard to play two centers for large amounts of the game. What's Damian's ankle sprain due to the possibility Utah steals the third seed? That would be great. They play Houston tonight. You'd suspect that they we'll see what happens. I mean, CJ's capable of carrying them as well. There is a scenario here where there's, you know, we win out, they lose three games, or they've lost two, and we go to that final game with a chance to play for the third seed. That'd be great. Seems like we're just getting ahead of ourselves, but sure. I never thought we'd be in the playoffs, and now we're talking about home court advantage. It's insane. How much of this year's comeback success should be credited to Rubio's leadership, both on and off the floor? I think a lot. I mean, I think he plays at a very high level that does not quit and has a passion to winning in the game that's pretty special. In your total honest opinion, do you think Mitchell has a shot at Rookie of the Year? I think he has a shot. I don't think he'll win it. Ben Simmons' case is pretty good, guys. Like, it's not a slight on Donovan. It's not a Utah small market thing either. Like, Ben Simmons is really good. And, oh, he's okay. I hear he's not truly a rookie. That's not part of the qualification. Right? Like, that's great that you feel that way. And the only reason you feel that way is because you are a Utah Jazz fan and you're supporting Donovan. And that's awesome. But that's not, they're not changing the rules between now and when you vote. So, you know, there just aren't a lot of guys who've averaged 16 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He's a beast. He's incredible. You know, he's playing 34 minutes a night on a playoff team also. He's a physical marvel. And sure, he can't shoot. It doesn't matter. It doesn't impact his game at all. He's incredibly efficient. He's got a decent usage rate. He's awesome. So is Donovan. They're both incredible. So he has a chance, but I think it would be hard. I have a highly unlikely question, but with Damian Lillard, if so, Blazers? It's a long question. I think this is the whole thing about the third seed. I mean, yeah, there's still a possibility of third seed. It's probably the fourth of the scenarios that happen, it's probably the fourth most likely. Fourth is probably most likely. Sixth is second. Fifth is third. Third is fourth. You talk about having all offensive player, average, all positive offensive players is important for an elite team. Does a similar apply to having all above average defensive players? It's a great question, Braxton. And it would seem that, I mean, we have that, right? We don't have a defensive weakness. It's eye-opening to me that our defensive rating with both Rodney Hood and Joe Johnson on the floor this year was a 107. Now, some of that is because Derek was hurt. Because Rudy was hurt. And so if you go to Joe Johnson and Derek Favors on the floor, the defensive rating was a 102. Which, you know, when Joe Johnson's off the floor, it was much higher. So, you know, so Rudy Gobert's defense with Joe Johnson on the floor this year was a 102. Rudy Gobert's defense this year with Joe Johnson that doesn't look... There we go. Let's see. So Rudy Gobert with Joe Johnson off the court's 100 and Joe Johnson on the court's a 102. That's not as big a difference as I suspected. But that's the one that's kind of kept me up at night wondering, you know, how much does a bad defensive player impact things? If you look at Rudy Gobert all year when he's on the floor defensively, trying to run it right now, it's not coming up. And then you put him on, the Jazz are a 98.1 when Gobert is on the floor defensively. They were a 103 when Gobert was on the floor with Joe Johnson. When Gobert was on the floor with Rodney Hood, they were 103.6. That's a pretty big impact those guys are having. So having negative defensive players seems to matter. That is Locked On Jazz, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Go to Locked On Sports for all the latest information on anything in the Podcast Network or LockedOnJazz.net for the latest on the Jazz. Have a great one.